and welcome to this reflection from Stretton Vale Baptist Church. I'm going to start by reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 44. As he, Jesus, approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks along the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord! Peace in heaven and glory in the highest!" It is Palm Sunday, the day in which we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The crowds are shouting in celebration. People lay their cloaks and palm leaves down on the road for the donkey to walk over. There is singing and praising, people celebrating in joy for the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The atmosphere is one of jubilation and celebration, a rejoicing. And in this entry into Jerusalem, Jesus is deliberately drawing attention to who he is and what his purpose is. And while the crowds understand in part who Jesus is, they do not fathom his purpose or intentions. They place their own expectations and hopes upon his purpose and believe that Jesus will do the things that they desire rather than following God's ultimate plan. So what were the crowds rejoicing for? What did they think was happening? And what was actually happening? What message was Jesus actually expressing? It is clear that Jesus was coming as the promised Messiah, as the King. This is a message that Jesus intended to reveal at this moment, and it's a message that the crowds did also receive. However, they differed in their understanding of what the coming of the Messiah meant for the world. Festivals, especially ones like the Passover feast, ignited messianic fervour. With Jewish worshippers coming from all over Israel and from wherever the Jewish people had been scattered to in the diaspora, the hope, the expectation, the desire for someone to save them from oppression and reunite them as a sovereign nation was high. And there were rumours abounding of a man who was doing miracles, healing people of their sickness and their diseases, feeding thousands upon thousands, driving out demons and commanding his authority over the forces of nature. These signs and wonders, the arrival of a prophet, even if from Galilee, led to speculation about the coming of the Messiah. But the crowds had a distorted view of what the Messiah would do. The biblical understanding of the Messiah is one who would release them from the chains of oppression. the king who would come to lead them out of captivity. The Messiah was the anointed one who would redeem them. But for the Jews in the first century, their interpretation of redemption is to be free from the oppressive rule of the Romans. They understood freedom from captivity as freedom from having to live according to Roman rules and Gentile governance. Throughout history, the Jewish people had experienced God's salvation time and time again, like in such notable moments when they were saved from Egyptian slavery in the Exodus, then again when they were saved from the wilderness and brought into the promised land, and once again when they were delivered from slavery in Babylon to rebuild the temple in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And from a human perspective, these occasions seem to demonstrate that God was taking his people out of testing circumstances and oppression from other human forces. And so we might understand why the Jews that surrounded Jesus on that Palm Sunday thought he would be the one to redeem them from oppression under the Romans. But even when we look at the other times in which the Israelites were redeemed from trying situations and oppressive regimes, we also see that God was drawing them back to himself. When he redeemed them from Egypt and led them out into the wilderness, God also gave them the Ten Commandments and established a covenant relationship with them. He was concerned with redeeming his people from both the physical suffering they had been experiencing and redeeming their lost souls and bringing them back into relationship with himself. Again, when God redeemed them from wandering in the wilderness and led them to the promised land, he spoke to Joshua, saying, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to give them, I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So yes, we see that God is protecting them against the human forces that might come against them, as he said in that first verse. But he is also reminding and cautioning them to follow the law that he has given them, because it will keep them spiritually safe and connected to God. And later in Joshua, there is a renewal, a recommitment to the covenant, and we hear the wonderful commitment Joshua makes: "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And once again, when we look at the redemption of the exiles in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, they were allowed back into their own land. But the focus of this redemption story is on the rebuilding of the temple, a symbol to remind them that God is with them and that they belong to God. The rebuilding of the temple and their reacquaintance with the law gave them cause to re-establish their covenant with God. So we see that in the history of the Israelites, God has been concerned with rescuing his people from oppression by human forces and by spiritual forces. So Jesus' arrival as the Messiah was not focused on revolutionary force, but on total spiritual salvation. The crowds around Jesus could not understand that. Jesus' own disciples could not understand that at the time. They all celebrated Jesus' arrival as Messiah for the wrong reasons. They celebrated because they thought he was going to free them from Roman oppression and take up his place on the earthly throne as someone in the family line of King David. This is why we are told in Luke's account on Palm Sunday that Jesus wept because they did not truly realise what was about to happen and why he had come. Jesus cried, saying, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus came not as a conquering king to overthrow the Romans and lead Israel to their new sovereign state. He came to them, meek and humble, riding on a donkey, a symbol of a king coming to reconcile and bring peace. He was coming to reconcile and bring peace between us and God. But what the crowd saw, when the crowd saw him on a donkey, they only focused on the kingly aspect and ignored what didn't fit their expectations. But what about us? Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? We have the benefit of seeing Palm Sunday in the light of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And so we celebrate because he has freed us from captivity to Satan. Jesus has freed us from slavery to the world. He has released us to fully flourish and serve God in the kingdom of heaven. Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest. Blessed is the Lord. This is life-changing. This is miraculous and awe-inspiring. We are free, and yet so often we live as if we are still held in captivity. Would other people look at our lives and recognize that we are free from slavery to the world? Can we hear Jesus asking us, do you recognize the time of God's coming to you? How can we live in the knowledge that we are free? How can we live rejoicing like those people on Palm Sunday, but rejoicing because of the right reasons? Do we remember to rejoice because Jesus has set us free from bondage to sin? Jesus tells us that he is the water of life. Are you thirsty for the Lord? Are you hungry for righteousness? This is the salvation of Jesus Christ. Hosanna in the highest. Over the period of Lent, we have been looking at the authority of Jesus. We've seen how this authority was presented through his amazingly wise and wonderful teachings, as he spoke to the crowd about fear and worry, the two paths, one to destruction, the other to life, and the wise and foolish builders. We've seen how his authority was established as he took control over illness and disease. We saw how his authority overcomes social conventions and norms as he touched the leprous man, despite the religious practices stating that it would make him unclean. He mixed with Gentiles, despite them being seen as unclean too. And we saw last week as he issued an ultimatum, "Will you follow me completely? Or will you allow the world to carry you away?" He warns us of the cost of discipleship. But Palm Sunday reminds us of the rewards of discipleship, the all-encompassing and amazing rewards that vastly outweigh anything we give up to follow Jesus. The crowds around Jesus shouted out in joy because the Messiah had come. Though they didn't truly understand what the Messiah was there to do, they still celebrated his arrival. We do know what the Messiah came to do, so we should be celebrating, rejoicing and sharing the news with others all the more. Do you want to share this wonderful news with those around you? What holds you back from telling others about this most amazing news? What would help you get past your fear and share with those around you? As I was preparing this message, a song came on by King and Country, which speaks of this amazing news we have been given. And some of the words really caught my attention. Dare to imagine, dare to believe in, a true love that gave us a brand new beginning. All in the moment, all in an instant, the body was broken and it was finished. So let us begin the celebration and ceremony. There's silence on earth, but the heavens are roaring, telling the story of the coming glory. Can you feel your heart begin to race? Can you feel the tide begin to change? With all our futures rearranged, the world will never be the same. Can you feel your heart begin to race? Can you feel the tide begin to change? Do you recognise the time of God's coming to you? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world to be born, to live, to teach, to give us such wise teaching and to show us the power and authority you have by healing and doing miracles. But Jesus also came to die, to suffer a horrible death on that cross, and to rise again on Easter Sunday, to set us free from sin. And so as we begin this journey into Holy Week, let us trust in you, look to you, and recognise what you have done for us. And so on this Palm Sunday, let us celebrate, for we know that we are free, free from all captivity, and we can worship you in freedom and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Amen.